Welcome to Black People Love Paramore, a podcast where I explain the common and uncommon interests of Black people in order to help us feel seen. Please rate us and write us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, 5 stars only, because we are 5-star bitches, word to Yo Gotti. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like, comment, and subscribe. Before we get started, I wanted to tell y'all my friend Kelsey Dara is having her first live show for her podcast, Confidently Insecure, in New York City, February 6th, and Philly, February 7th. Go see her. Okay. That's out of the way. I'm your host, Sequoia, and today joining me to talk about the Cheetah Girls, we have award-winning actor, producer, singer, and television personality, Kaylin Allen. Thank you for joining us, Kaylin. I'm so excited to do this episode.
Thank you. I'm excited. You hear these dogs started making noise out of nowhere. Usually they are very quiet, so I don't know what was going on. I think I ordered some Uber Eats and my burger arrived at the door. I think that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. They said somebody in here trying to get him, and we got to make sure that they know that we're here.
Right. They just like Toto from the Cheetah Girls.
I was just about to say, they heard we were talking about the Cheetah Girls. They said, oh, we in there too. Toto was in there too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, before we dive into the movie, we have In My Defense. In My Defense is a segment where we bring one of our unpopular opinions and defend it for you all. Kaylin, I can go first, or you can go first.
You go first.
Okay, okay. I feel kind of bad about mine, just a little bit. I feel like it's a little bit mean, but I don't intend it to be mean.
Okay.
I just feel like upon rewatching the Cheetah Girls with adult eyes, and I'm saying this as if I don't watch the Cheetah Girls at least twice a year and have for my entirety of my life. It feels like Sabrina Bryan wasn't dancing as well as my child eyes thought she was.
Okay.
And I feel bad. Like, I'm like, but I love Sabrina. And I think that obviously she's very talented and she does have like a dance background, all that stuff. But when I rewatch it now, I'll be like, I don't know. It's solid.
Well, you know, I feel like that has happened with a lot of stuff that we've like looked back and been like, ooh, what was that? What was going on? Yeah, but I think that's more of like a style of the time. You know what I mean? And not necessarily that. Because like this is Kenny Ortega. Like this is a kid's program. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like it's not going to give what you think it's going to give.
Right. You know, it's that we've advanced so much. You're so right. Correct. Now, the Beyonce of it all, of course, affects the way that I look at things from 2003, even though Beyonce was there too, and she was doing what she needed to do.
Yes, but I do think, especially now with social media, I think dance in itself has created its own like pathway to where now it is more about intricate choreography and stuff like that. While back in the day, I felt like those kind of conversations were left for like the Alvin Ailey's and the more professional dance companies and not necessarily in the mainstream commercial world. And I think that's the difference from then and now. I mean, you can look at High School Musical and be like, they ain't doing shit up there. You know what I mean?
They wasn't.
Right.
To be fair. Well, yeah. Especially compared to Cheetah Girls. Cheetah Girls was doing more than High School Musical, but that's neither here nor there.
Right.
Kaylin, what you got for us for your unpopular opinion?
Okay. So my unpopular opinion is that I feel like they was gaslighting Galleria. Galleria they was were. Right. The majority of the time. Did she have attitude issue in the first movie? Yes. But for the most part, them other girls, they were lazy. Galleria was about the business. She saw the vision. She saw the dream. And she was putting in the work. Everybody else was too busy frolicking around lollygagging.
And y'all want me to go up on this stage and look stupid because y'all wanted to lollygag?
Exactly.
No, it won't be me.
No.
I definitely agree with you on that. Yeah. The way that she came at Dorinda was rude.
Now, they all were very disrespectful to Dorinda.
They were so mean.
All they did was call her poor.
All they did was call that girl poor. It was so rude.
It got worse when they found out she was a foster child. Then they was really disrespectful. Crazy.
Yeah. No, they were certainly unwell. But I agree with you. Galleria, from the first and second movie, we're going to get into the third movie. Spoiler, I haven't seen it. And I don't have any plans.
It.
The third one, and I don't have any plans to see it.
Oh, no, you have to watch
it. I don't have any plans to see
that
one, actually.
Oh, my gosh. The disrespect. But we also need to talk about how the character Aqua is drastically different from the first movie and the second movie.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That's a good one. Let's definitely get into that for sure.
Yes.
Aqua's character arc certainly... Before we do that, you know what? Let me introduce even what the Cheetah Girls is, because I feel like if you're
listening and you've never seen the Cheetah Girls, let me tell you a little bit. The Cheetah Girls is a 2003 American musical television film based on a book series of the same name by Deborah Gregory, starring Raven Simone, Adrian Bailon, Keeley Williams, Sabrina Bryan, and co-EP'd by Whitney Houston.
Absolutely.
You heard that right.
Yes.
By Whitney Houston. This film marks the first Disney Channel original movie to be a musical. The movie includes three installments, The Cheetah Girls, The Cheetah Girls 2, and The Cheetah Girls One World. This movie broke records for Disney, made a lot of money, and honestly changed the world. At least for me, definitely changed my world.
Definitely changed my world.
Yeah, I would not be who I am today if it was not for The Cheetah Girls coming out in a smooth 2003. I was in third grade. I was 8 or 9 years old. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That was life.
I agree.
Yeah.
Wait, what year were you born?
94. I'm going to say.
Okay. I was born in 96.
Okay. We close. We were close.
Yeah. Well, because I remember, I think Cheetah Girls 2 came out when I was in, I'm going to say maybe fifth grade, because I remember printing out the lyrics. Because, you know, Disney Channel used to do like those sing-alongs. And I remember printing out the lyrics to the songs and like walking around the playground at recess, like singing the songs. I know. I was in it.
Wait, I love it. The dedication was very serious. To go find a printer as a fifth grader, you said no. I won't be getting these lyrics wrong. I'm not going to guess. I'm going to know the lyrics.
Okay, exactly.
Wow. I love it. I used to make my friends pretend to be the Cheetah Girls at recess. On rainy days, we would have to go in the classroom instead of be outside for recess. Uh-huh. Don't let me be in the classroom, because now I know I have everybody's attention. Uh-huh. We're standing up in the front,
right,
and we're going to sing, you know who I'm going to be.
Okay, well, what song you picking? You Galleria.
You know I'm going to be Galleria.
Clearly.
You know I'm
clearly.
I feel like you're going to be Galleria, too. I know you're going to be Galleria.
I think I'd probably be more Chanel.
Okay.
I think work ethic, yes, Galleria. But I think personality and like pizzazz was probably geared more towards Chanel.
Okay. That's very fair. I'm definitely a Galleria type, but I feel like I love Chanel's fashion more.
Okay.
Of course. But it's not Galleria's fault they had her dressed in Lane Bryant, because they acted like it was not okay. It wasn't okay the way they were treating Galleria. I didn't like the way that they dressed.
Wait, okay,
her.
Wait, hold on. So you mean Cheetah Girls 2 as in far as the wardrobe? Cause
Yes. In the first one, Galleria was eating. Yes. In the second one, they started dressing her like something was wrong with her body.
Well, and I think that's a bigger like Disney Channel problem at that time. Because even Raven talked about how they made her tan so that she appeared to be more darker skinned. You didn't know that?
No, I never.
You didn't know that.
That.
If you look at Raven, even as a child and now, is very fair toned.
Right.
But then if you look at her Disney Channel days, especially That's So Raven, as it progressed, mm-hmm. she gets darker because they made her tan so that she would appear blacker.
This is crazy.
Crazy, right?
No, come on. Disney, everything I find out about the mouse, it's never really good.
Now, you know, but I mean, what I will say, I think, like I said earlier, it's the times. You know what I mean? So like when That's So Raven was on and, you know, Cheetah Girls was coming out, like this is when you had a lot of different black sitcoms, you know, it was coming off after like, you know, The Cosby Show and The Martins and then going on, and they were all living in that space of the girlfriends where mm-hmm. blackness was, you needed to be black, black, black. You know what I mean? Because that was the audience that they were selling it to, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, different time, different practices.
That's very fair. The times were so different. I'm glad that we're done. But you know what? The Cheetah Girls was ahead of its time in a number of ways.
I agree.
Okay. The casting of trans icon Sandra Caldwell to play Drink of Champagne.
Wait, you know, I did not know that until she did that Netflix special.
Oh, yeah. I think that's when I found out, too.
Hold on. And the fact that I put together that the name was Drink of Champagne.
Drink of Champagne.
I was like, that is very iconic.
It is.
But yes, yes, what a way to be ahead of the time.
Definitely ahead of the times. In the first movie, they tackle the foster care system, poverty, mm-hmm. race, ethnicity, single motherhood, which is not usually present in child's media of the time. Mm-hmm. White was the minority in the film.
Yes.
Very much not usual, especially for a kid's piece of media of the time. Mm-hmm. Highlights the actual diversity of New York City mm-hmm. when shows like Friends and also Enjoy Friends were acting like New York was not a diverse place, you know?
Right.
There was just a lot that the Cheetah Girls was very ahead of to be 2003.
Right. And I think they shot it in Toronto.
They did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
You're right. And 6 weeks. It was also really quick.
Yeah. And that's just the first movie. Now, have you been to Barcelona?
I have not. Have you?
I have. I've been to Barcelona twice. And trust me, I have retraced every step of that movie.
You have to. You have to. That would be primarily my only reason for going, honestly. If I go to Barcelona, it's to relive the Cheetah Girls for me.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know. Okay, so which one is your favorite?
Okay, that's exactly where I was going. What a good segue. Come on, Caitlin. Which movie is my favorite?
Yeah.
The second one is my favorite.
I agree.
And obviously, I can't even speak on the third one because I ain't seen it. But the second one.
Don't worry. I'm going to come in defense of the third one.
Okay. Okay. What about you?
My favorite is also the second one, mainly because of the soundtrack is impeccable. This is the thing about the Cheetah Girls. I think that if Raven would have not. This is where it gets tricky. Raven had been in the industry a long time, right? And Raven really wanted to be a solo artist, which I think is great. I think if she wouldn't have had the pressure of being basically the Beyonce of Disney Channel, of Disney Channel, then I felt like she would have been able to kind of be okay with doing the group. But they also had, we already know they had their own tensions, you know, as a group. They already had that. And if they would have been able to like get along, I solely believe that the Cheetah Girls could have been an award-winning top-selling girl group.
No, you're 100%. I agree so wholeheartedly with that. Mm-hmm. The Cheetah Girls, first of all, songs like The Party's Just Begun, that could have been a radio hit.
From the jump.
From the jump. That is like an actual. It didn't even sound like
kid songs.
It wasn't a kid song. Like, that was an actual hit. That could have been top 100 easy.
Right.
But yes. Okay. So the rumor is that Raven felt left out during the filming of the second Cheetah Girls because the other three girls had been on tour together, had grown closer and all that stuff, while Raven opted not to go on the tour to focus on that. So Raven to focus on her solo career because she signed up to play a fictional character, Galleria, in the Cheetah Girls, not to be a full-time Cheetah Girl, which, you know,
I totally understand,
but I definitely agree that if they had been able to make it work with Raven's schedule, if she had been more in it wholeheartedly and the pressure to be the Beyonce, like you said, was not on her, the Cheetah Girls really could have gone somewhere. Yeah. And the jealousy that came with that from the other girls of Raven not feeling like she wanted to necessarily be an entire Cheetah Girl all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that just sent them on the downward spiral.
Which I think is hard because first you got Adrian and you got Keely, who are already been in a girl group. Yep. They are music artists. That is it. Like, that is their primarily, you know, their foundation. And then you have Sabrina that comes in that joins that number, who is not necessarily, you know, that seasoned in the industry, but is now in this. I can see how that would make Raven feel a little, you know, left out of the equation. But I also just think they just had a different reality of the world. You know what
they
I mean?
Did.
Like, Raven really was booked, like, insanely. Insanely. Like, when you look at, listen here. Now, I know we're talking about Cheetah Girls, but I.
No, let's talk about Raven. Yeah.
I get, it actually, it boils up a visceral reaction within me. I get emotional about it because I just feel, one, comedy is what I do. And I can solely say that I learned how to do comedy by watching Raven Simone. Watching That's So Raven, it is brilliant. It is a masterclass in comedy. Even when you watch Raven's Home, the reboot, I didn't miss one episode of the reboot. And because Raven, and when you, like, come on. So you're talking about That's So Raven. You're talking about Cheetah Girls. She was on Kim Possible. You're talking about Xenon. Like, all these things that she was doing. You're talking about music. Some Call It Magic is a bop.
The Things I See?
The Things I See.
Okay.
Some Call It Magic.
I don't understand.
What was the song that they did? Remember the episode of That's So Raven
Backflip?
When they did? Backflip?
Oh, no. Backflip. Oh, no. She did that.
Shine.
Like, let it
shine.
It was called
Shine.
Shine, yes. Shine.
Yes.
Shine, shine.
In the cafeteria giving choreo. Okay?
All like, the tables, period.
Because they were talking about, you know, Quinta just this last weekend at the Emmys won, you know, best female lead in a comedy. And they were talking yes. about how that's the only second black female to win that award. And they were talking about different shows. And I was like, there is no reason. Like, the only reason why Raven didn't win it is because they considered That's So Raven to be a children's show.
Absolutely. You but are
she
really preaching right
it.
Now.
She deserved
She really
it.
Deserved it. Even That's So Raven as an adult is so fucking funny.
The first episode.
I'm laughing out loud.
When
the first
her mama. I didn't know Brazil was this big.
Big. I can't believe her.
It is
I can't
brilliant.
Know. She's so good at this. She's really so good at this. Honestly, the entire cast was yes. really fucking good at comedy.
Yes. But talk about like then doing That's So Raven that is so physical comedy. I consider mm-hmm. Raven to be like the Lucille Ball of our generation.
I agree.
You know?
I fully agree with
but
that.
But then you go to Cheetah Girls and she doesn't, it's not necessarily a comedy. And it's more grounded. And it's more, her role is more so dramatic. But what is comedic is in Cheetah Girls 1 when she mm-hmm. does the rap to her mama when she's reading off the to-do list.
Oh, no. I don't know.
Yes. Cheetah, I was cheetah, like, yes. I'm like, brilliant. Like, it is brilliant.
Yeah.
It is so good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, you're so right. Raven Simone had me in a chokehold. By the time the Cheetah Girls came out, yes. I had already been deep in That's So Raven for months. Right. That's So Raven came out in January of that year. I uh-huh. think the Cheetah Girls came out in like August or maybe uh-huh. October of that year.
Uh-huh.
I was a Raven stan. You can't pry Raven out of my cold, dead hands to this day.
Right.
I know she be doing stuff.
Right.
And that's neither here nor there. You can't take Raven from me. I'm sorry.
Okay,
I only have so many.
But let's add some perspective to that mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. people often bring that up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. this is where I have a little bit more. This is especially because I work in it. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes people from the outside don't understand the different pressures of the industry, especially at that time. Like, we are talking about someone that was famous as a child on
Three
one of the most
years old.
Popular shows. Yep. Imagine not living a regular life. You're not Ever. Around regular people. Everything that you do at a very young age is all about working, right? And mm-hmm. so imagine what that does to you psychologically. And you also have reached this pinnacle of fame that mm-hmm. you had these dreams and aspirations, but because people have put you in this box of who you're supposed to be, it feels like you can't do anything that you actually want to do. And you've been told from a very young age where to go, what to do, what to say, and you just don't feel like you've had much agency over your own life. Imagine yes. what that can do to you psychologically, because you're learning this stuff and you're experiencing this stuff on in yep. front of camera. But to be fair, and this is why I want to allow people to shame Raven, because out of all the other kid stars, if there was mm-hmm. one that Raven ain't been in rehab,
period.
Like she ain't had no mental breakdown, like all that other stuff, it's like, okay, you know, whatever. But according to her white peers, Raven was doing a lot better.
Okay. Miss Raven's good to this day. And guess what? She still ain't touched her Cosby money. And what about it?
Okay.
So Miss Ma'am was managed well, clearly.
Right.
Clearly things were going well for one Miss Raven Simone. I'm willing to give her grace. Truly. I've heard, you know.
I agree.
Some stuff where I'm like, oh, weird. You know, but who the fuck am I? I'm right. very happy to give Raven Simone grace.
Right.
She did so much for me as a little black girl. Obviously, she was like the first. I think she was like the first black girl that I watched on Disney Channel. Mm-hmm. I don't remember there being another black girl that I watched on Disney Channel.
Yeah.
Except for like Sister, but that was not, anyway,
yeah,
that wasn't Disney Channel.
Yeah, it was more, wasn't it ABC Family?
It was ABC Family first, and then uh-huh. they syndicated over Disney Channel. But yeah, she meant so much to me. And then as she got older and her body developed more mm-hmm. and she was, you know, a normal sized girl, mm-hmm. that was very reassuring to me to see as a girl who was also going through the same thing. So I'm willing to give her the grace. Y'all not taking it from me. I'm sorry. That's that on that.
Also a fashion icon.
And a fashion fucking icon. Every year I'm trying to figure out how I can be That's So Raven or Raven Simone for Halloween.
Right?
And I can never find the outfit that's good enough. I would have to sew that bitch myself. And I'm not about to sew it. So
just like she
it
did.
It is what it is. Just like she did. Exactly. Uh-huh. I went through a whole little sewing phase because of her. Anyway, she means a lot to me, clearly. I also have been listening to 3LW since they came out in 2000. Uh-huh. and they appeared on other kids' show, Tyena, on Nickelodeon.
Yes, did you ever watch Tyena? Yes, love yes. Tyena.
So they also came in, like you said, with their own mm-hmm. little fan base mm-hmm. and then meets Raven's fan base. Mm-hmm. This shit was destined to just be just as big as it.
It was superb. It was superb.
This is a good spot to take a break. When we come back, we'll get into the Cheetah Girls 3. Stay tuned. Get started on your New Year's resolution with Factor. So you're ready for the new year. Factor's ready-to-eat meal delivery takes the stress out of meal planning and sets you up for success in the new year. Skip the grocery stores, prep work, and cooking fatigue. Instead, get chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals delivered right to your door. With over 35 meals to choose from per week, including options like keto, calorie smart, vegan, and veggie, and more, plus over 55 weekly add-ons, you'll have a ton of nutritious and flavorful options to kickstart your resolutions. Forget frantic lunch preps and dinner rushes. Factor's two-minute meals are your secret weapon in the new year. Fuel up with fast, restaurant-quality meals, all delivered right to your door. Head to factormeals.com/blacklovemusic50 and use code blacklovemusic50 to get 50% off. That's code blacklovemusic50 at factormeals.com/blacklovemusic50 to get 50% off.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening, and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to, oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
And we're back.
Okay, hold on, because we need to talk about Cheetah Girls 3.
Let's do that, please.
Let me tell you why I think you should still watch it.
Okay.
One, off the gate, Cheetah Love is a bop. That's the first song on the movie. Now, the only missing piece really is Raven. But I do believe that the story itself is still a strong story. I think the reason why people don't like that one as much as the other ones is because, one, it's not really about, it's not, I guess the other ones take place more of like the Cheetah Girls like chasing their dreams a little bit, so that is a little bit more relatable. And in this one, I guess people felt like India was kind of like a random place for the Cheetah Girls to end up after going to Barcelona.
It did,
you know what I mean? And I think it breaks up kind of like the trajectory that you're following. Like in the first movie, you see the Cheetah Girls and they're just figuring it out, and they have these dreams and these aspirations. Then in the second movie, they're going to a music festival, right? They win this music festival. And so I think the expectation now is like, well, we want to see them navigating the industry. We want to see them go on tour. We want to see them go do concerts. We want to see what that's like. And then it kind of switched to almost where it felt like the Cheetah Girls were like breaking up. And because that's kind of, it kind of happens in the movie where they're like, Chanel's gonna go solo. Galleria's off at school. She decided not to be in the group. And so it just kind of feels disjointed as far as the narrative and where we had already seen. You know what I mean?
That's very disjointed sounding. As somebody who's not seen it, Galleria deciding not to be in the Cheetah Girls and going to school is unrealistic as shit.
Right. It just didn't make sense, you know?
That's not gonna happen.
Right. But I felt like even though that was the case, I still felt like it was a solid movie. You know what I mean? I think it was more of a creative issue. I think with Raven not coming back for that third one, I would have rather seen them like have to face that. I would have rather the third movie be finding out that Galleria has quit, especially considering the fact that she practically quit every movie. You know?
So you
the
know fact what I mean?
Right. So if it would have been like, yeah, she gone, and now they gotta figure out
she
how
went
we gonna
solo.
Even trying to like replace Galleria. You know, what that'd be like.
That would have been a really good one.
Right, and then deciding to just stay as a trio and navigating that and figuring that out. And even if Raven was like, okay, well, I'll just come back. And then at the end, Raven shows up, you know?
Right. No, you know what? I'm not mad at that at all. That makes 100% sense. And as a trio, I feel like they do work in general because Fuego.
Yeah,
you know,
I was
Fuego
just about to say that. Yeah.
Is unmatched. I mean, Fuego hit.
Shake your tail feather. Like the girls were still working.
Like, it was nothing. It was nothing. I didn't even feel like I missed Raven when they dropped their solo album, TCG. I was like, yeah, no, they sound good. Cheetalicious Christmas goes hard to this day. Every Christmas, I'm throwing on Cheetalicious Christmas.
I know that's right.
I'm not missing a holiday without it. So, yeah, I wouldn't have even been mad at them leaning into the fact they were a trio. But to be like, she went to school is weird. Say she went solo because that's more realistic. Chanel going solo also, I could see. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I might have to tap into the third one, just see what they're talking about. Yeah. I always did it out of rebellion to be like, y'all not about to think y'all about to get away with something.
Okay, so let me tell you something. So because I am a big Cheetah Girls fan, I have actually started writing a pilot for a reboot of it, of like a modern day Cheetah, like starring like the kids of Galleria and Chanel and doing it as a series.
So because this would mean so much to me.
Because I adore it so much. And I know the text so well. I even bought the book so I could like get more.
Did you read the book?
Yeah, I even got the book so that I could even go deeper into like the way it was originally written.
Yeah.
So that I could really pour into that. Because I do think it was ahead of its time. I think it is a timeless, you know, movie. Both of them.
No, I 100% agree. I read all the books when I was a kid because I loved the Cheetah Girls.
Okay, so what was different? What was different from the books in the movie?
Aqua had a twin in the book.
Yes, correct.
Named Angie.
Uh-huh.
That was the primary thing that I can remember. Obviously, I read them when I was like 9. Right. That was the only thing I can remember is that being like, where's her damn twin? And so recently, I gave it to my niece. I gave all my books. You know, they're big. Those are sizable books.
Yeah, they are.
I gave all my Cheetah Girls books to my niece. She's 11 now. I gave them to her when she was like 9, maybe 8. When I tell you, that girl looked me in my eyes and was like,
she didn't want to read them?
Maybe.
Because they were too big?
No. She said, "That's you think I'm going to sit and read these big books with these girls that I don't know, that I don't have interest."
Did you show her the movies?
Not yet. I keep trying to show her the movies. She's just like not that into it. When I'm like, you want to watch Cheetah Girls? She'd be like, no.
What's she like to watch?
She's like a video game girly. And she watches YouTube. That's what the kids, you know, she don't really watch any TV show. She watches YouTube and she plays Minecraft and Roblox. And it breaks my heart. It really breaks my heart because the Cheetah Girls meant so much to me and mean so much to me to this day.
I think you got to trick her. You got to do like something, like a movie night and be like, let's just watch some movies tonight. You know, get some popcorn, little camp, little moment, and then just turn it on.
Ooh, camp. Because she's been wanting to watch Mean Girls, but her mom won't let her watch until she's 13. So maybe on her 13th, because she's about to be 12, maybe on her 13th birthday, we'll sit down, we'll watch Mean Girls, and also
Cheetah Girls.
The Cheetah Girls.
Okay. I support that.
Now, Kaylin, choose one song from, I'm just going to do the two movies, obviously, because I don't know.
Okay.
You tell me the third one. You could choose a song from the third one. One song from the first one between Cheetah Sisters, Together We Can, Cinderella, and Girl Power.
Together We Can.
Okay. Wow.
I love Together We Can.
By that choice.
Very first song in the movie.
The very first song,
I was obsessed with the girl. I had the Cheetah Girls on the karaoke. It was like, I had a karaoke machine. I had Cheetah Girls karaoke tape. Baby, Together We Can, that's my stuff.
Okay, okay. I'm not mad at that. If I had to choose, I'm probably going to choose Cinderella. I was under the impression that was a Cheetah Girls original, obviously, for years. Turns out it is not.
Yeah, it's not.
It was made by i5 and then covered by Play and then covered by the Cheetah Girls. But that is a hell of a song.
Yes.
Cinderella's lyrics eat to this day.
I don't want
to
be like Cinderella.
I'm happy that I grew up in a time when that was the anthems of the time. You know, it was
Even Girl Power.
You know? Girl Power. Yes, absolutely. Okay. For movie number two, the party just begun. It's over. Amiga Shida Strut, step up.
It's over.
Oh my gosh, you have the most obscure choice.
It's, honey, when Raven burst through that door. Oh, I was like, this is cinematic gold. You got Chanel walking on the fountain. It's so dramatic. It's so, I was like, the funny thing is because it, you know, it happens in the day and the night, right? And they all at the same damn house. I'm like, so they don't see each other?
They don't see each other walking around? Wow, they were all at the same home, the same villa. Right. And this is crazy.
And then the next morning, she go in there and Galleria gone. I'm like, I know you heard her loud ass singing. You heard her singing. You knew her ass was about to leave. Sorry about it's over. You know, that is, honey, that is a perfect power ballad. I love that song when I watched it the first time. I was like, oh, this is it. This is it.
Wow. Wait, that's a take. The key change, and it's over. When she busts through, please don't let it be over.
First of all, the ripple, the layers of the different vocals.
Yes, of them saying different things.
Yes, ahead of its time. Ahead of its time. Are you kidding me? This is a kid's show, and we are getting vocal layers just hitting you with emotion, baby. Now, what was crazy, though, is after that song, and their asses was at the train station in pajamas. Y'all couldn't have put on y'all clothes?
Monique would not have approved.
No, she would not. I was like, how did you even get through the damn city to the train station in them pajamas?
What your cheetah pajamas on?
Put some clothes on.
Put some damn clothes on. You know you could have chased her ass to the train station with some clothes on.
Even Galleria looked at them like, now what the hell is this?
I'm embarrassed. Why are y'all outside like this?
Okay.
And I felt her. That's a good one. I'm choosing, as I've outed myself already, The Party Just Begun, because it's a hit. It's also the first song. I think that's the first song of the second movie, too.
It's the first song. But you know what's funny?
I also love the choreo in that
one. Mm-hmm. Wait. So if on the second movie, right? Mm-hmm. Because they went to Barcelona, if you look at the scenes that take place in New York, the budget is piss poor. Right?
Oh, no.
I want you to pay attention to when they are in the room eating Chinese food.
Because
they are eating air. There is no food in the containers. Raven is
no,
dead
the containers
ass.
Was like, empty.
She grabs them with chopstick and nothing's on it. I'm like, now, be for real. Be
for
real.
They said, you got Chinese food money.
Right.
And the answer was no.
Okay. On a phone call in the middle of the night auditioning for a singing
After
competition.
After you already done missed it. You didn't already miss the deadline. Right. Ain't nobody about to answer this damn phone in the middle of the night.
And you think they going to let you in because you sung over phone? Honey.
They can't hear you.
Okay. I'd be like, honey, the service is bad. Try next year. Hang up.
Click.
Okay. Click. I'll see you next year.
Yeah. No, I'm not about to do this with y'all. But in true Galleria fashion, she makes things happen because she's that girl.
She
That's
do.
That's how she did things.
She do. Yeah.
Now, random question.
Yeah.
If one of the characters was queer, which of the Cheetah Girls would it be?
Aqua.
Aqua?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, first, let's talk about the difference in character.
Okay.
In Cheetah Girls 1, Aqua is very ghetto girl.
She is.
She is very, like, rough, tough. Remember, she was like, you better get your friend. You know?
Yes, like, she was about to beat,
She was about to beat Galleria's ass.
Yes.
And then, in the second one, she's like, oh my gosh, the girl that familia. You know? Like,
it was kind of dumb. Yeah. They made her more ditzy. Yes.
Right. And it was, like, a totally different character. But I think maybe because out of all of them, she seemed to be like the less like boy crazy or like focused. Mm-hmm. You know, you see Sabrina, she has a little boyfriend thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Raven didn't really talk about, but well, I guess Uncle.
Was, in the first one, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then the white
she had
boy
her white
with
boy
the,
boo, Derek.
And then Chanel felt more like, because she just kind of felt like she just was against any type of stuff like that because of her mama. You know what I mean? Because she felt like her mama was fast. You know, so I would have to say Aqua. Yeah.
Okay. I can definitely see that. That makes sense to me for sure. Something about Sabrina Bryan. Sorry, not even Sabrina Bryan. Something about Dorinda.
Okay.
in particular, not Sabrina, my bad, not Sabrina, something about Dorinda just feels like it would make sense to me. You know what it is? I think it's the rejection of mainstream culture from a white girl. The rejection of like white culture or, you know, like the mainstream things. Wait, all her friends are black.
Right.
And Chanel.
Which I thought Dorinda was mixed.
Kaylin.
And then I found out.
Kaylin, please explain to me why you thought that.
I just thought she was like Mariah Carey. I looked at her just thought this was a light skinned black girl or mixed girl. I thought she's biracial. That's what Kaylin, I thought. I did not know she was supposed to be a white girl. It didn't make sense to me. I was just like, oh yeah, this girl biracial.
To be fair, that makes sense because what white girls did you know that only had black friends?
None. And she didn't look like the typical white girl.
Now you losing me, Kaylin. Now you losing me.
You thought she looked like a white girl? This is crazy.
White as hell. Yes.
Really?
The blonde hair, yeah, she was pretty white. I have to say, she was pretty white.
What?
Yeah.
It sure enough gave Mariah Carey to me.
Wow.
Wow. Who would have thought?
Wow.
Who would have
thought? Who would have thought? Who would have thought? But yeah, if I had to like, if one, because you know, just by the numbers, it's four girls in a group. Uh-huh. Somebody is queer. It's Dorinda.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I see the vision.
Now let's get to Miss Lynn Whitfield.
Ooh.
The icon. The I.
Listen.
God.
Listen. You know what's so funny is I interviewed her at the Wearable Art Gala a couple years ago. And when I did it, I so wanted to be like, my favorite movie of yours is The Cheetah Girls.
She would have been like, what?
I know. That's exactly what she would have. But an icon. And you know what? Okay, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the black representation in this movie. I love that they were rich and bougie.
I loved it.
I was like, they are bougie and they are living it up. Especially like when they in Barcelona and she's recognized on the street by the fashion designer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I loved it.
No, I loved it so much. I love that Chanel's mom, being a single mom, was not poor. They didn't have her be poor. Mm-hmm. That apartment in Manhattan was nice as hell. She had that big modeling picture of herself.
Yep.
The
only poor girl was the biracial white girl.
And if we want to talk about ahead of its time, the Cheetah Girls was ahead of its time,
and was,
baby. POCs was eating.
And
in
was.
The Cheetah Girls. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know what was going on with, we never saw Aqua's, like, home.
We didn't. We sure didn't. Also, what happened to Galleria's little brother? He just disappeared after the first movie.
Oh,
he was
my
there
God.
Briefly.
Well, her daddy disappeared, hell. You know, we sure did. We knew that he existed, but yeah, the brother was gone, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was Italian. Yeah, she was supposed to be mixed.
Yeah, she was supposed to be mixed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. That was her stepdaddy. That was her step. Now, that one I can't get behind the biracial of it all.
Not you can't get behind Galleria being mixed, but you thought Dorinda was mixed.
First of all,
please,
let's talk about
Taylor.
These motherfucking names, okay? Because what the
oh,
hell?
Oh, wow.
Galleria. Aquanetta. And then Chanel. Okay? And then Dorinda probably the only, like, real name.
And even Dorinda is like a pretty black ass name for a white ass girl.
That's
I have
why
to
I
say.
Thought she was biracial.
And I get you. I see how you arrive. Also, their nicknames are so fucking funny. What is Galleria's?
Chuchi? Was that
Chuchi.
It? Chuchi.
No, Chuchi is Chanel. Isn't
oh, that, yeah, that's
yes.
Chanel.
Chuchi Chanel. Galleria's Bubbles.
Yes, Bubbles.
In the book, Dorinda is Do Re Mi. I don't know if they still call
they
her.
They called
that.
Her Do. They called her
right,
Do.
Okay. Yeah. In the book, it was Do Re Mi.
Okay.
And then Aqua was always just Aqua. I don't
right.
think they ever gave her. Because
her full name was Aquanetta.
It's Aquanetta. Yeah.
Yes.
And Anginetta. Who was her twin?
Oh, that's the twin.
In the book.
That's the twin.
Yes.
Wait, okay.
Yes.
I actually, this probably should have been my unpopular opinion.
I think I know what you're going to say.
No, I don't think you do. I don't think
Solange?
You do.
Is it Solange?
Oh, I heard about that. No, but that's
okay,
not
okay,
it.
Okay,
I did
okay,
hear about
okay,
that.
Okay.
My. She would have been great in that. But my least favorite character is Mary Soul. I hated Why Wait.
Oh, I hated Marisol.
Oh my God. I hated the character. I hated the song.
I
Anytime I play it and it comes on, I skip it. I like, nope.
I agree.
Yeah. No. No.
Yeah, no. Marisol was not giving. Now, I don't know the name of the song. La La Lanita Nana.
Oh.
That one eats.
Yes. Also, the tango song with Drew Seeley.
You know what?
Yeah, Dancer.
Yeah.
Now, Marisol is on that song. She do sing on that song. Yeah, she does. She the female voice. Yeah. Oh. Now, that song, I was like.
Yeah, no, that one eats. Mm-hmm. It had a little hip hop, a little tango hip hop.
Yeah.
Flavor.
I mean,
I don't know who produced it, but they ate.
The producer ate it up. I know ate Whitney was listening to the song, like, oh, I need to go ahead and record this one.
Wow. Now imagine if there are some Whitney vocals over Cheetah Girls tracks.
Oh
somewhere,
my God, like she did the demos. Hitting. Can you imagine?
Yes.
Can you imagine?
That would make me cry. I think that I would be like,
but see,
in
shambles. If those movies would have came out today, in an age where they do, like, you know how like Hamilton had then like a pop star soundtrack where the song, I could see Whitney doing one of the songs like as a cover.
Wow. No, for real.
I could see it.
I would love that.
Can you imagine Whitney Houston singing It's Over? Y'all would have to take me out on a stretcher.
God. Oh,
y'all would have to take me out on a stretcher. We need to figure out some AI. We need to get an AI version of It's Over.
Since we want
some
AI by Whitney stuff. Houston.
Yes.
Use it right, okay? Yes, use it right. Put Whitney's vocals on there.
Mm-hmm. That's what I need. That's what I want. Mm-hmm.
You're so right. Fun facts.
Okay.
Solange supposed to be played by Aqua.
Correct.
Or Solange was supposed to play Aqua.
I would have loved that.
I would have loved that too. That totally makes sense, especially after seeing her in Bring It On.
Yeah.
I could see her as.
Why didn't Matthew want her to do it? What was the reason?
She was supposed to be doing her own solo album at the time.
Got it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. She was supposed to be pursuing a solo career.
Got it.
A la Beyonce, a la Raven.
Okay.
So that makes sense. I already talked about Aqua's twin sister, Angie, in the books. The Cheetah Girls, Cinderella, not being an original Cheetah Girls song, being by i5, then covered by Play. Play also really liked Play. As a little girl band, they were at a cute moment. Mm-hmm. Naya Rivera auditioned for and was almost cast in The Cheetah Girls. She mentions that in her book, but she didn't specify what role it was. If you had to guess, what role do you think she was almost cast for?
Dorinda.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense because she is a little bit more racially ambiguous.
Right.
Well, and it would make sense for her to say that. Yeah.
I was thinking about the whole, the Solange thing, and I actually don't know if Solange would have fit because I think Solange at that time, especially with the Beyonce connection, would have been almost, I think they would have, she would have bumped heads with Raven.
Hmm. Okay, I can see that.
I can see in the role itself of Aqua wasn't prominent enough for someone of Solange stature.
Like Solange.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I feel like the role, like, she would have fit more in a Chanel place,
mm-hmm.
I feel, rather than the Aqua.
Mm-hmm. I can definitely see that. That totally makes sense.
It would have just changed the dynamic completely.
Definitely would have changed the dynamic completely. Would have changed Solange's career completely. And I'm not sure if it would have been for the better. I'm not positive on that. Just based on the type of music she makes nowadays, I feel like it would have thrown her a little bit more poppy.
Mm.
And I don't think that's where she likes to live because that's not where she lives.
Correct.
Now.
Correct. Yeah. I think if Solange would have done it, I think we would have definitely not gotten like the Cheetah Girls tours or the concerts.
Definitely not.
No.
Because Raven wasn't doing it and Solange wasn't doing it.
Right.
So what the two of them going to do?
Right.
Nothing. Right. It worked out how it was supposed to.
Yeah.
Although I do think Solange would have been fun in the Cheetah Girls movie, especially after seeing her in Bring It On, that Bring It On movie. Did you ever watch Solange's Bring It On?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Now, I would have rather seen Solange be like a competitor, like their competition.
Oh, wow. Like she could have been Marisol.
Yeah.
They could have brought her in to be Marisol.
Or in like the third movie, it could have been another girl group that they were up against.
Definitely.
You know?
That, wow.
That makes more sense to me.
Kaylin, add it into the pilot. Yeah. You know what I mean? Get the pin. Yeah. The fin out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If we can make a Cheetah Girls reboot happen, I can die happy, honestly.
I'm going to try. And I know all the Cheetah Girls, personally.
Kaylin, stop it.
So I'm going to try and get it to one of them to want to you know, take it to Disney and executive
slip and
produce.
Slide it, right? Slide it to somebody. Right. See what Adrienne talking about. She okay. seemed like she might be the one that is most ready and eager and able
you
to
see
do
the
it.
Vision. You see the yeah. vision. And Adrienne was on Raven's Home.
Oh yeah, yep. she did revive that role yep. on Raven's
she,
Home.
Yeah,
huh?
she played. She played.
Alana, she was the principal.
Yep, she was the principal. Mm-hmm.
I really need to dive back into Raven's Home because I really liked it when I first started
now,
watching
personally,
it.
Personally, I liked it when they did the soft reboot and they were back in San Francisco. To me, I felt like that was how the show should have always been.
Oh, wait. What was it in the first place?
So remember they were in Chicago at first.
Yes.
And it had Chelsea, but then it had, you know, the twins and it yes. had Levi and everybody like that, which was fine. Yeah. It still worked. But I feel like for the purpose of nostalgic, it made more sense.
To be in
San Francisco with a lot of the original cast. Also, well, you know, this happened today. The Wizards of Waverly Place reboot was announced. You didn't hear
it?
You didn't
know? No!
You did not know?
No, I didn't hear about this. Is Selena coming back?
Yes. Selena is executive producing it. So Disney Channel Stop has it. Ordered the reboot of Wizards of Waverly Place to which it will have Justin being the main character. He'll be the series regular. Selena will come in every now and then. And it basically takes place, which is kind of crazy, because Justin has now given up his powers after they did this whole wizard tournament. He done given up his powers to live a normal life.
I forgot about
yes,
that.
Yes, okay. And a kid that's a wizard shows up at his doorstep needing his help in training for a wizard to save the wizard world. And so Justin has to then help. But yes, they had their first table read today. It was announced today. Disney Channel posted it and everything.
How did I miss this? I haven't been on Twitter today for real. Okay.
Yeah. Happened this morning.
Wow. Okay, so a Cheetah Girls revival is possible then because they're looking back in the archives. They've been doing it a lot.
Well, I think what Disney realized is like Raven's Home was like their number one show because a lot of us were watching it. And I think what they have found is like rebooting these old shows that had basically structures that worked. And now we're living in a place, especially after the pandemic, where people really want nostalgia, that people are willing to go back and watch stuff that, you know, that may be on the kids' channel, especially when now kids have so much different outlets of entertainment, where for us, TV was all we had, you know? And now they got TikTok and all this other stuff. It's like, you got to figure out how to make your content reach many different people.
Aim at me.
Yeah, so I think Disney is starting to realize that they need to start tapping in to the older crowd, you know, while also making it more family to where they want to watch it with like their nieces or their nephews or their little cousins and stuff like that, because it's a shared experience.
And where's the Lizzie McGuire reboot?
Oh, they talked about that too. Well, the writer gave some I guess did an interview recently and talked about what the plot was going to be. and talked about like why Disney pushed back from like certain adult themes that were in the show. I wish Disney would have just really like, just don't call it Lizzie McGuire, call it Lizzie. Because the thing that I don't understand about the fear of the more mature content is like kids aren't going to recognize that name. To where they're like, oh, let me go watch this. I'm excited for this.
Lizzie McGuire.
Right. But if you would have just made it like Lizzie or Liz and put it on Hulu, we would have watched that. You know what I mean?
100%. Because Hilary Duff was in the How I Met Your Mother reboot, right?
Correct.
How I Met Your Father.
Yes.
And they put that on Hulu. They knew the target audience. They knew what they was doing.
Yeah,
I think
they really dropped the bag with that one. I think Disney's own fears of stepping too out of their comfort zone is hindering them from really expanding, you know? And the only reason why I think the iCarly reboot got canceled is because, one, it was solely on a streamer that a lot of people don't have, you know? Like, a lot of people
don't have Paramount Plus,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, like, the problem with these streamers and all these different streamers coming out, it's like, we were told that the streaming was going to be our save from cable, when in reality, cable was cheaper than what we 100%. Are paying now for all these different streamers, you know what I mean? So I think that's what makes people a little apprehensive about it. And I also think when people do these reboots, they either lean too much into the nostalgia or they don't lean enough into it, you know? I think that's the problem with it. It's like they don't treat it like a continuation of the story, except they try to make it new and innovative and like adding certain things into it that doesn't really make sense to the world that we were accustomed to.
Just so I can get a read of where you land on the reboot vibes.
Okay.
What's your thoughts on the new Mean Girls, the Mean Girls musical that just came out?
So I have no problem with taking, I haven't seen it yet, but I have no problem with taking the musical versions and making movies into them. I have no problem
and
with
likewise.
And the reason why I don't get too upset about it is because I'm like, this is just a different audience. It's just a different, you know, way of showcasing something. It doesn't really bother me that much. And, you know, me working in a job is a job. You know what I mean? So I'm like, make more jobs for folks. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
That's the way that I see it. And I think also it's like, I think the tricky part about the Mean Girls is because it was such an iconic movie and now it's not a continuation. It's kind of just like the same thing over again, you know, but like even with the Color Purple musical, like I'm like, I saw the Broadway musical. Yeah, I want to see it this way too. I would probably watch the musical more than I would the original movie, mainly because the musical to me, Color Purple specifically, was more joyful. It was a little bit more light in it. You know what I mean? So I would probably gravitate more towards that because I don't really like heavy stuff. You know what I mean?
Me neither.
So yeah, I think a reboot works if it's done well. You know, like I think Fuller House was done well. I even think when you think of like the Conners, you know, I think that was a well done one. You know, Raven's Home.
I was a Roseanne girl. I loved that
same
show.
Same. And then she was batshit crazy. And it was like, oh, God. But, like, I think the Conners got a reboot, like a new season coming out pretty soon. You know what I mean?
Good for them. I'm glad that didn't kill them. Yeah.
Right. You know, and I'm also a person that loves living in the nostalgia. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Me too.
And because I think the issue and why people do the reboots and why certain stuff that comes out that's new doesn't work is because I think now that writers can become famous, that has tainted the quality of stuff.
Whoa, that is a good point.
Yeah, and I also think that we try to make shows kind of reflect what social media looks like. Instead of just sticking to like quality structure in the way, like my only critique of Raven's Home was that they threw the psychic powers out the window. Like it just didn't, it rarely was a part of the story. While in That's So Raven, every episode was centered around the vision and how it impacted her world in that day, you know, and that was kind of gone in Raven's Home.
Right. Somebody told me in Raven's Home, this might have just been an internet theory that I saw. I obviously didn't watch all of it, but I watched some of it. Somebody told me that they got rid of one of the twins.
Yes. That was because she went to go do a CW show.
They got rid of the girl.
Yeah, yeah. So she went to go do something else, and Chelsea also left. You know, and Alicia, she left too. But she's been doing a Disney Princess tour, so the girl is booked. You know, and now she does the podcast
with Christy Carlson Romano,
which I also know both of them. You know what I mean? And so I'm glad that they have figured out like what works and they are really in that bag, you know what I mean? Because I met them separately. So Christy, I was on Christy's YouTube channel when it was kind of just like a nostalgia thing. Cooking? No, we were just talking about Disney and like that whole trajectory. Because I'm a Disney kid at heart.
Same. I'm a Disney Channel kid.
Listen,
I would say,
I do Disney trips every year. And Alicia, I had just met her through social media. Then when she came to Newark, New Jersey to do the Disney Princess show, I went to go see her, which her voice is incredible. It is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so it's been great to, you know, connect with these people that have meant so much to me as a kid and really formed who I am today. You know what I mean? Because my TV never left Disney Channel.
Mine either. I was a Disney Channel girl. Yeah. I loved
even
it.
Even Hannah Montana. That's why
I was still through.
I want to go see Miley Cyrus, but not if she not performing no Hannah Montana song.
Let me tell you something. Because if we're not starting all over, start all over.
Okay.
With the Hannah Montana mix. Listen. Did you ever have that CD where it had like both sides? The Miley side and the Hannah Montana
side?
Baby,
when I tell you I was in that Hannah Montana movie, okay? I think that is one of the best movies ever made.
Stop it.
The Hannah Montana movie is my shit. It don't make no goddamn sense. I'm like, you're trying to tell me her ass went up there and told this whole damn county that she was Miley Stewart and nobody said a word? The news is there. There is press there. And you trying to tell me all these people was like, we not going to tell your secret, girl. Bullshit.
Boo.
I'll be like, I don't know this girl. I'm taking pictures and I'm tweeting.
I'm taking pictures and I'm tweeting.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me tell you.
Absolutely. Wow. No, Disney Channel was a time.
But especially even then, hold on. Because even you talking about Disney Channel and the difference of what, like, even when I come across Disney Channel today, yeah, even Disney Channel original movies were an event.
Oh, like, I used to sit at home when the premiere would happen.
Yes.
I'd be like, no, Mom, I'm not doing that or whatever, right, you're talking about.
Friday, 7 p.m., you had the little film strip with the kids jumping in and out. Baby, it was a moment. You had Cheetah Girls. You had Cadet Kelly. You had Smart House. You had Xenon. You had Stuck in the Suburbs.
Oh, like, Stuck in the Suburbs is an underrated one. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. You had Wendy Wu, Homecoming Warrior. Like, we had quality content.
We really did. I think the last one I watched was Lemonade Mouth. I think that was okay, when I started aging.
That's when
aging
I threw
out
off.
Disney
Channel. Yeah, that's when, yes, that's when I fell off. I feel like Disney Channel started to make their transition when the Phineas and Ferbs came into play, the Life with Derricks, Good Luck Charlie. Like, those are when I started to transition out of it. I was like, okay, the content's kind of changing. It wasn't as ethnic as before. You know, it started to not represent what the everyday looked like, I think, for a lot of us. So we kind of just moved out of it.
You're so right, because That's So Raven was so black.
Yes.
When I tell you Raven and Eddie were black as hell.
Remember
on
the
That's
Black
So
History
Raven
episode? When she didn't get hired because she was black?
Oh, because she was black.
Yes.
I don't hire black people.
Iconic.
Yeah.
Revolutionary. I was a kid like, that's crazy.
That's crazy. The Proud Family was so black.
Oh,
you know?
Black and a bit. Okay, did you watch the reboot of the Proud Family? Louder and Prouder?
No, I never even watched that one.
Okay, so I've watched all those episodes. My only critique about the Proud Family, Louder and Prouder, is a little bit the same as the Lizzie McGuire one. I don't understand why they didn't act as if these kids weren't grown. Like, they do this weird thing in the first episode to where it's almost like some magical thing happens and they still in middle school. Like, but
oh, that's weird.
But they look different. You know, like, Michael is now, like, them is non-binary. But it's like, but there's no time shifting this.
Shift.
You know
oh, that's
I mean?
Weird.
So that
yeah,
was
weird.
That was kind of weird. That didn't make sense to me. But I did really enjoy Proud Family, Louder and Prouder.
Okay. Yeah. I'm glad that we got to grow up in the era when it was okay to be black on Disney Channel, like explicitly black.
Yes.
Because it feels like once, like you said, once they kind of aged out, it was like things became more ambiguous.
Okay,
they were trying to play to the every person.
But you know why I think that happened?
Why? What happened? What you got?
My theory is that when media started to change and when it started to feel, I feel like back in the day, things felt more universal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The shift happened after the election of Barack Obama.
Oh, it was a backlash. It was the blacklash.
Yes.
Yes.
When Barack Obama became president, that is when everything kind of became separate.
Very separate.
And everybody started to just go to their own little pockets of the world, and media changed and diversity changed because that was also, the killing of Trayvon Martin.
Mm-hmm.
So now we had these new racial situations that were coming into everyday life that hadn't necessarily, like, they had been there but weren't as prominent, you know?
Yes.
Because
and
now
they felt like black people were divisive.
Correct.
The presence of blackness
became,
was divisive in itself.
It became very two sides. That's
political.
That's a whole reason why Donald Trump got elected.
Oh,
you know?
Wow, the blacklash. You're so right.
It was resistance. It was like, we got one extreme, now we need to do the other extreme.
You talking now. You chatting now.
You know, like, that's what caused the shift in media. Even when you think about music, when back in the day, we knew white songs too. Like, even this podcast, you're talking about Paramore.
Baby,
you know what I mean?
You
like,
know, yes.
But then it all shifted. It all changed.
Wow. That is so true. I didn't even realize how interconnected it all was. I definitely watched all of the shifts happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it's weird that there's not, you know, unambiguous, explicit black people on Disney Channel anymore.
Because,
or really,
well, you
anywhere.
Got the only thing that you got that still wasn't as black as the other shows was Zendaya's show.
Exactly. And that Gotta Kick It. No, it wasn't Gotta Kick It Up. That was Disney Channel. It was a.
Yeah,
I shake
don't
it,
even,
Gotta Shake It Up. Shake
no,
it up.
Not even that one. I'm talking about KC Undercover.
Show? Oh, I forgot.
Where she was a spy. Yeah. Because Gotta Shake It Up came up after, like, right in that time that we were already phasing out. It was, like, in the middle of that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because that was, like, at the time of, like, Sweet Life on Deck. And all those
Like it when they got on the boat. Why are y'all on the
boat?
It
was different.
Yeah.
Why are you on the boat?
I was like, go back to the hotel.
Yeah, it was very different, but that all happened in that shift as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also, did you know that Disney Channel at that time would only, I think it was like they would only do 4 seasons and then they would change the name because then they could redo the contract and then they didn't have to pay people more?
Oh my God. See, this is what we're talking about. When I find stuff out about my childhood fave things.
That's why Hannah Montana became Hannah Forever. Remember?
Oh, and then,
she moved into she moved into a new house. Like everything shifted and changed.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Hannah was also chef's kiss. Miley Cyrus is a gem to come out of Disney Channel.
Perfection. Another perfect show.
Mm-hmm.
Obsessed with it. And they had no diversity, but I loved it.
They sure didn't. And let me say something. I don't need it every time.
I don't.
You can get away with it. You know
Listen
what I mean?
Here. If there's one thing that Kaylin is, I am not a fan of relatable content.
Never have been. Why am I trying to, you know?
If I'm watching TV, I want to escape.
Escapism.
I want to enjoy. That's why That's So Raven worked. It was like, who the hell is psychic? You know?
Right.
Like Hannah Montana. Who the hell is a pop star but still going to school as somebody else? You know what I mean?
Fair.
Like, it was the fantasy. We were living in the fantasy. You know what I mean? Like, my critique about stuff today is when it feels too close to home, I'm always like, I'm living this. Why do I need to see it on TV?
Why is COVID in my shows? Ever put COVID in my shows.
You know, I'm like, I'm living it. These are my friends. I'm doing this every day. I don't need that. I want to escape. I want to enter into a world that doesn't exist of all the possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. I agree with that for sure. Kaylin, before we sign off, is there anything else you want to say about the Cheetah Girls?
I need you to watch number 3 and then I want you to report back to me.
Okay. 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 I'll DM you on Twitter. We are mutuals on Twitter. DM you on Twitter we'll chat about it. I plan to watch it for this episode, but I just felt like I needed to stick strong to the I've never seen the third one.
You need to watch
that
it.
I've had.
You need to get into
I'm
it.
I'm watching.
Okay.
Yeah, got you. All right, and that's our show, y'all. For those of you who want to check us out on YouTube, you can go to youtube.com/blackpeoplelovepairmore. The link will be in the show notes. If you have comments or suggestions, you can hit me up at blackpeoplelovepairmore@gmail.com or across all social media platforms at BPLPpod. Kaylin, do you want to tell the folks any projects you have coming up, where they can find you on social, stuff like that?
Well, you know, I got a lot of stuff coming up, but you know, we can't ever talk about stuff until it's announced. So just know, be on the lookout. It's January, so we still, you know, getting into the groove of things, but you can find me everywhere at The Kaylin Allen.
Beautiful. And we'll be on the lookout for all those projects that you have coming forward. You can support this show and other wonderful Max Fun shows at MaximumFun.org/join. Our editor is Genriel Legat, and our producer is Palmira Muniz. I'm your host, Sequoia, and this has been a production of Maximum Fun.